From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 2024 is expected to be the hottest year ever recorded on Earth. That's according to a report released today from the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service. Of course, a major contributor to global warming is fossil fuels. But the Midwest has recently been awarded the first portion of $1 billion from the U.S. Department of Energy to help end our reliance on those fuels. It's through what's called a hydrogen production hub. But not everyone is convinced that hydrogen energy is really cleaner energy.
Let me ask you, if someone was destroying your home, the air you breathe, the water you drink, and the land that your children play on, would you give them $1 billion?
That was from a recent reporting trip Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco took to northern Indiana near a BP refinery. Juan Pablo covers the environment for WBEZ, and he's been reporting this story in partnership with the climate-focused news site Grist. He joins us now to explain more about the proposed hydrogen hub. Juan Pablo, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Hey there, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for being with us. And listeners, you can join us. We'll be talking about this for about the next 15 minutes or so. 800-222-9455 is the number. What questions do you have about hydrogen energy? Are you excited, optimistic about the idea of a Midwest hydrogen hub? Or maybe you're concerned about it. 800-222-9455. All right, I'm going to start with a basic question. What in the context of energy is hydrogen?
Yeah, not a basic question at all. So hydrogen is this abundant, odorless gas. If you think back to your high school chemistry class, you'll remember that in that periodic table that usually hung on the wall, it's the first element. So it's the lightest element, and it consists of one proton and one electron. But increasingly, policymakers are looking to hydrogen as this potentially carbon-free fuel source. And that's kind of how we're getting to this Midwest hydrogen hub.
Are we talking about, like, we're all going to pull our cars up to hydrogen gas stations, or is this for more commercial vehicles, or what are we talking about in terms of, yeah, go ahead.
So I wouldn't say it's getting exactly at, cars for you and me, but what they're trying to do is to build an industrial base for building hydrogen. And they have several projects built across the Midwest, spanning Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, so they want to be creating hydrogen at a very large scale. But in places like Michigan, they do have some plans to transition a fleet of buses, for example, in Flint, Michigan, to run on hydrogen fuel cells. So there is a little bit of that. But really, what we're getting at is to try to convert industries like steelmaking, glass production, and heavy-duty transportation, because these are the ones that are really contributing to fossil fuel emissions.
That's a lot of our energy usage goes to them. So, okay, what is this? What is a Midwest hydrogen hub?
Yeah, so a Midwest hydrogen hub, it sounds like maybe it's going to be in one spot, but it's not. It's actually going to be spanning Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Michigan. And across these four states, really what's going to be happening is that we're trying to build a sort of network of producers of hydrogen, consumers of hydrogen, and a way to move that hydrogen around. So the plan is to cut emissions for those hard to decarbonize industries, and to do that using hydrogen. But things get a little tricky there, depending on how that hydrogen's produced.
Well, yeah, so let's get into that, because there's like green hydrogen, blue hydrogen. Talk about these things, and, you know, I sometimes have to say, explain it to me like I'm a smart 13-year-old.
Yeah, well, you know, this is where it does get a little dicey, because hydrogen production is color-coded based on the energy source used to produce it. So, for example, green hydrogen denotes that the power that came to produce that hydrogen came from solar or wind. Blue hydrogen, for example, comes from natural gas. And before the emissions from that gas escape, those emissions are captured and then stored underground using carbon capture. So that's blue hydrogen. There's gray, which is just natural gas by itself, and the fossil emissions aren't captured. So it really runs the gamut. But what it gets to is there's these colors of hydrogen, and then there's clean hydrogen. Now, not all hydrogen is clean hydrogen. Some of it is dirty, like that gray hydrogen. But that clean hydrogen, that's what the Biden administration is focusing on, and that's what they really want to start to ramp up.
Okay, so that brings us to this idea of, you know, whether everyone thinks it's clean and some of your reporting. Maybe we should just set a baseline because you were in Whiting, Indiana, right? There's a BP refinery there. Tell us a little bit for listeners who are not familiar with Whiting. What's it like?
Yeah, Whiting, Indiana. So if you've ever driven through Whiting, Indiana, you'll note it's in northwest Indiana, right on the border with Chicago. This is a heavy industrial kind of place. You'll see stacks of production kind of all around the place as you drive through it. This is also historically the home to a ton of steel production. A lot of the skyscrapers you see in Chicago, the metal, the steel for those, for that undergirds all of that, comes in many cases from this site. This is also home to one of the largest oil refineries in the country. That's the BP oil refinery in Whiting. And all of this, these kind of years, these decades of industrial pollution have led to communities that live right next to it beginning to be to press their officials about, you know, what it means to add more polluting industry into the region. And so that's where this kind of conversation begins.
More polluting industry, but this is supposed to be a clean project. So maybe we can get into that. Let's talk about sort of the plus or the pro side. Talk about the Midwest Alliance for Clean Hydrogen, Mach H2, which is behind this project.
Yeah, so the Hydrogen Network, it's being led by the Midwest Alliance for Clean Hydrogen. It's also known as Mach H2. It's a collection of public, private entities, including manufacturers and universities all around the region. And, you know, the pluses here is that these are hard to decarbonize industries. You know, making steel requires a lot of energy, just as one example. And to plug hydrogen into this kind of situation would really be a game changer for making steel. We do need steel. We need to build things fundamentally. And so removing emissions from this production cycle would be a huge thing. And so there is this kind of tug and pull of, you know, how we get across the finish line that is the clean energy transition. And a lot of people are looking to hydrogen as one of the ways we get there.
Yeah, it's interesting how energy intensive some of these industries are. I happen to have a job in doing security when I was in college at the old U.S. Steel Southworks site.
And oh, no kidding.
They had their own power plant there, which supplied the site was pretty much decommissioned by that point, but there was still a power plant which was supplying energy just for the U.S. Steel plant in Gary. So this is a highly energy intensive industry. Okay, so that's the sort of pro side. There are people who don't really see it as clean energy. Let's listen to a clip from your reporting for BEZ. This is Lauren Piet, if I'm saying that right. She's an attorney with Earth Justice, speaking first.
We're seeing a lot of the same fossil fuel companies that have invested in fossil fuel infrastructure for decades, and they want to keep their assets online and see hydrogen as a way to kind of greenwash their dirty projects of the past.
That's not how officials at Mach H2 see it. As long as they keep emissions from the hydrogen production below the thresholds set by the DOE, it's technically clean. Here's Neil Banwart, the chief integration officer at the Midwest Hydrogen Hub.
We're confident in our ability to meet Department of Energy's definition with all of our hydrogen producers.
All right, so to explain a little bit about what's going on there and this idea of, like, is something truly clean if the government says it's clean versus if an environmental activist says it's clean?
Yeah. You know, something important to note here is that Piet and a lot of the people that these groups that are opposed to kind of what's going on with the hub, they're not exactly opposed to clean hydrogen exactly. They're just opposed to what I mean to say is that they see a place for hydrogen generally in the clean energy transition. It's just that not all hydrogen is the same. You know, it's produced, getting back to those color codings, what that means is that some hydrogen actually hinges on fossil fuels. Thinking back to that blue hydrogen or even just the gray hydrogen, these groups are worried that hydrogen might end up being just another way for fossil fuel companies to keep their business going. And an important thing to note here is that we do produce hydrogen today in the U.S., like without even getting into the clean hydrogen of it all. 95% of the hydrogen produced in the United States comes from natural gas, and that's one of these non-clean hydrogen sources. So what people are worried about is that we're still going to keep up that demand for natural gas, a fossil fuel. We're just going to try to figure out ways to tinker with it so that we're meeting that that definition, but still keeping things business as usual.
It's interesting. Producer Anna is reminding me that natural gas itself is a rebranding of methane.
That's right.
By the fossil fuel industry. It's a term we all use now because it sounds like healthy potato chips or whatever, I guess. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, who's an environmental reporter at WBEZ. And for the Grist, he's been reporting about this Midwest hydrogen hub. So what are the next steps here? What is like the sort of the timeline for this project getting underway? And, you know, what are some of the rules about whether it's going to be blue hydrogen or green hydrogen or gray or any of the other rainbow colors we've been talking about?
Yeah. So important thing to note about this, the hydrogen hubs generally, is that it's detail light. Right now, this became news because just a couple weeks ago, the Biden administration, DOE, okayed about $22.2 million for the first installment of what this Midwest hydrogen hub is going to be. So that's going to be going towards things like planning, design, outreach with the community, and also labor. That will last about 18 months. But the total amount of money that the DOE had projected for this project, just in the Midwest alone, there's seven of these hubs promised for across the country. But for the Midwest hub, we're talking like $1 billion or so dollars. And this is going to be spaced out. At least the plan is over very many years, like 10 to 12. And so construction is still years away, but we are starting to see the first kind of baby steps of this project taking off.
And again, what is the demand for hydrogen now? Like you said, you mentioned this potential. Is it a potential bus fleet conversion, or are these things actually happening in places?
So the way hydrogen is used majority today is that it's used a lot in the oil refinery process. It's used a lot in chemical manufacturing, and it's used a lot in the production of in certain agricultural processes. So when we talk about like those bus fleets, that's really like a projection of us being like, you know, we could use it for this, and we could change the way we think about public transportation in these ways and electrify it in these ways. So in those cases, we're talking about potential uses, potential future use cases. But today, primarily, it's really its applicability is in industrial cases.
What about nuclear? One thing I don't. I apologize if you mentioned it, but nuclear power. Obviously, Illinois is a huge producer of nuclear energy. How does that play into this?
Yeah, so nuclear energy, there's actually a whole color code for that too. That's called pink hydrogen. If you draw your electricity from a nuclear power plant to produce the hydrogen that you're going to be using, that's pink hydrogen. Illinois, of course, is energy mix is like majority nuclear, over 50%. And that is something that they're considering along in the scope of projects for the Midwest Hub is to power some of a hydrogen production facility somewhere in central Illinois, north central Illinois. So that's in the mix. That's something people are talking about. Groups are opposed to that, though. You know, that will be drawing energy from the nuclear power plants that would otherwise go to other places. And so this is just a conversation that's in a bunch of flux. Things are just up in the air, and not a lot of it is you know, written in stone,
Yeah, interesting. All right, just a couple of minutes left in our time together. So this is the Biden administration, the Department of Energy, providing funding. It's among a number of sort of last-minute moves we've seen, and I know that there's also like a loan to Rivian, right, the car manufacturer in Bloomington Normal that we've heard Elon Musk and others sort of poo-pooing a little bit. Never mind that Musk's own Tesla got a similar loan a decade ago. But do we know how the Trump administration is feeling about hydrogen energy?
Well, we don't know exactly how they're feeling about hydrogen energy. What we do know is that on the campaign trail, President Donald Trump had said that federal money going towards clean energy was something that was going to be scrutinized. Vivek Ramaswamy, who is expected to lead one of President Trump's informal new departments called the Department of Government Efficiency, has said on
Thank you for not calling it Doge, yes.
Well, that's right, Doge. He said that they're going to carefully scrutinize every one of the questionable 11th hour transactions starting as soon as they get into office. It's hard to say exactly which ones are the 11th hour transactions. It could be very much the case that hydrogen is one of these 11th hour transactions and as such might be on the cutting table. A lot of this is still up in the air, and it's not totally clear what energy programs President Trump will want to go forward with and which ones he won't.
Well, time will tell, as we often say on public radio. Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, thanks for being with us and sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st show.
Sure thing. Happy to. Anytime.
Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco covers the environment for WBEZ, the Chicago public radio station, and GRIST, the climate-focused news site. Coming up after the break, it is the holidays, and that brings with it a return of some of our favorite foods and recipes. We're going to be talking with Illinois chef Ken Polk about what you might consider making this season and also how to make your meals a little healthier, plus just the general culture around holiday foods. If you have a favorite dish or something you want to talk about, maybe a question about preparation, this is a good time to call. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. That conversation will be getting underway in about a minute and a half here on the 21st show. We need to take a break. Stay with us.